All right, thanks for joining us at RMC Inside, Inside RMC. Our heart in this is to give you an opportunity to get to know what's going on at the church and some of our pastors and staff. So I'm really excited to have James Rainierson with me today. So James, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing, Eric?
Doing pretty good. Yeah. So James is on our pastoral team and oversees small groups and also does a lot of counseling and teaching in a school discipleship. But before we go there, we just love to get to know you more. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your family and how you came to know Christ as your Savior?
Well, my family is fully tied into my salvation with Jesus Christ as well. My wife Erin and I met when we were freshmen in college at Northern Colorado. And surprisingly enough, we were both journalism majors, and we met in our introduction to journalism class, and then immediately both changed majors right after that journalism class. But we were dating at that point, and then dated pretty much all throughout college. And through that process, she has always been a believer and always gone to church. And I had grown up as a Catholic. I went to Catholic school and kind of walked away from the faith. And through just my relationship with her and her hunger for wanting to find a church while we were in college, we found a church up in Greeley, and the pastor there, his name is Aaron Chambers. And when we first week we went to that church was his first day on staff. Like, it was his first sermon.
Oh, wow.
There, which is kind of cool, because it was like, oh, we found a church and this is his first time too. And then I ended up coming to Christ a couple weeks later through just him and through Aaron and praying. Really just changed my life around, and it just took me over. And Aaron ended up marrying my wife and I, and we've been married for 14 and a half years now, and we have three amazing kids. We have a 10-year-old named Garrett, 8-year-old named Taryn, and then a 5-year-old named Bennett. And they are constantly running around this building and are all over the place, and it's just awesome to see them just hungry for the Lord as well. And as you well know, kids in this church just feel comfortable, and it's such a great thing to have.
That's cool. That's awesome. And then you and your wife went through school discipleship here at RMC, is that correct?
Yes, it is. We went through 6 years ago. There's actually a really funny story with that. Is Pastor Joshua, who just went down to Alamosa, really became really good friends with Aaron and I, him and his wife Jessie did. And the job I was working at the time, they were working on promoting me and moving me up to Fort Collins. And so Josh and Jesse were at our house for dinner, and they said, hey, we'd like to really bless you and watch your kids for 2 years while you take school discipleship.
That's quite an offer.
It is.
2 years of babysitting.
That's right. and my pridefulness, I was thinking solely of my career and solely of that, and not looking at what God's plan was. And I said, sorry, we're moving to Fort Collins. Can't do it. And 2 months later, I ended up not getting the job in Fort Collins, and we ended up taking school discipleship together, which was awesome. And that's really where God just took a hold of me and just ran with me.
That's awesome. For those that maybe don't know about school discipleship, can you kind of describe it and describe your experience in school discipleship?
It was an absolutely amazing experience. I like to reference it as sometimes it feels like you're drinking water out of a fire hose, but that's a great experience as well, because it's more about getting that head knowledge and learning about the Lord and learning about different things about Christ's kingdom and how to disciple to others, but then it's transferring it from your head to your heart and really learning more about Christ and letting him take over and growing with you. And it turned into just everything. It turned into our service in the church, and it turned into eventually a pastoral role here, because about a year into school discipleship is when I really felt that call to ministry, and God was just calling me to something higher and was pushing for learning more and more and growing with him more and more and just digging into the word more and more on a daily basis.
That's awesome. Was it hard to go from the corporate world into ministry and being a pastor? Like, talk us through how all that was as you were praying through, you know, do I come on staff as a pastor at RMC?
Yeah, it was quite a transition, because I came from all corporate America. Like, there was nothing ever in ministry that I'd worked with before, but it was a breath of fresh air just to see that I could go to work daily and speak the word of Christ and help people. And it's come into that every single day is just using the living word for everything that I do. Corporate America is very, very rigid. It's very much like, you got to do this, you got to do this. And it's very much people checking on you all the time and almost micromanaging you. And here it's we're all doing the work of the Lord, but the pastoral staff that we have is amazing because you and Pastor Robert both trust the staff in what they're doing and trust us with their ministries. And it's amazing to have because it empowers you to want to do more and want to grow more instead of just checking the boxes to get your job done. It's how can I improve daily?
Hmm. And during that season was a huge step of faith for your family because you were stepping into pastoral ministry. Your wife was in education and Correct. Started her own counseling practice. And so you guys ventured out on both fronts at the same time.
We did. It was certainly a different transition.
Yeah.
You know, my wife was in school counseling. She's a school counselor for 10 years. Was just getting tired of the education system and how teachers and educators are being treated. And she really struggled with it. And as she was walking through school discipleship, we were going through school ministry at the time, God was just putting it on her heart that she wanted to do something further and do something bigger. And my wife is much smarter than I am, but she got a double master's.
It's good that you've realized that.
She'll be very happy to hear that. So, no, but when she was getting her master's degree for counseling, she ended up doing both. She did school and clinical counseling. And so the plan was is that when our kids were older and out of the house, she might open up her own practice. But when COVID hit and things just got crazy, it just became in her heart that people needed help. And there's not many clinical biblical counselors out there, and that's where her passion is, and that's where it is. And so she started the practice the same month that I came on staff. And so yeah, it was a huge transition, but it was amazing to see the Lord work and just having a trust in God in that, and knowing that he had it the whole time, and it was just walking faithfully in what he was going to do with it.
And that was about 3 years ago, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, just about 2.5 years ago is when everything came into transition.
That's awesome. I bet that you and your wife had some interesting discussions because you do counseling as a pastor. She does professional biblical counseling. Mm-hmm. And so kind of cool to have that in common.
It is, yes. She's still much smarter than I am in that. And she's, but it's awesome. We can bounce those kind of things off each other and have those conversations and really support one another. You know, one thing I think a lot of people don't think about counseling is the toll it takes on you as well. Cause it's, you're hearing what people are walking through. You're hearing where their hearts are at and you care and you wear that. And so to have my best friend be the one who can talk with me through those things and support me through those things, and I do that vice versa with her, it really helps with, as a couple, as a married couple, how we can grow together as well.
Yeah. How do you process that when you've had a really difficult counseling session or two or three in one day, and then it's like time to go home and take off the pastor hat, put on the dad hat, you know, how do you walk through all of that?
You know, I can't say it's perfect because none of us are, but prayer is the absolute biggest thing. I am very intentionally focused about praying before any counseling session and then praying after any counseling session and really just letting God have it and giving it to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one in control, and really he's the one that's doing the counseling. I'm just advising people through the word and giving them what God would want in that situation. And so it's one, knowing that it's not me, it's the Lord, but then giving it to God in prayer and really just letting him have my heart before and after counseling sessions.
I'm sure for all of us, it's a difficult email to write, phone call to pick up, to say, I'm going to seek some pastoral counsel from my church. Mm-hmm. Some people may not even know about it at RMC. Like, we offer free biblical counsel, and so people can call in and get that biblical counsel. But that's a really hard step to take, you know, to humble ourselves, to be ready to receive counsel. How would you encourage people in that are maybe listening and they're like, man, I think I would benefit, my marriage would benefit from some counseling, but I just don't have the courage to call.
And again, it goes back to prayer. It's saying, Lord, like, this is truly on my heart. Like, I can talk to somebody about this. I can do that. And just picking up the phone and doing it.
Yeah.
Taking it one step at a time. One thing I tell every person that sits in my office for counseling, whether it's a couple, whether it's an individual, is you're here.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big step to be here. And really that's the first step, is that people want to be there for counseling. It's not that they're forced to be there. It's not that they're dragging their feet coming in. It's that you want to have that help and that guidance. And that's the first step, is really just taking it. And so if there's any encouragement I can give, it's, if there's something that's on your heart that you just feel like you can't handle on your own, take that step.
Yeah.
God's with you the whole time. It's just, it's our own hearts and our own minds that think that we can't handle it. But
yeah. What are some amazing things you've seen God do in people's lives as they've come and received biblical counsel?
You know, I mean, there's so many things. You just see the growth in people. You know, I've had people with anger issues that just, you don't think that there's going to be anything, and all of a sudden God gets a hold of their heart and that light bulb clicks, and all of a sudden they are just on fire for the Lord. I have a couple that, he was actually here today serving at the church, but you know, they'd been through a couple things. They'd have prior relationships that were a struggle, but they both truly wanted to seek God in their counseling and their premarital counseling, and to see them just have that growth and just see them plugged into the church more and more. Somebody who I'd never seen before sits in my office for 10 to 12 weeks for premarital counseling, and then all of a sudden they're both serving in the church and people recognize them and are having conversations. It's such a growth piece to see when you truly do let God in your heart and let him take over, that he can do amazing things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then you also oversee small groups, which is a huge ministry in our church. God's Absolutely. Been really gracious to expand small groups. And what are you seeing God do in small groups?
I mean, it's a fellowship piece. I mean, really, yeah. we talk about that, of fellowship is so key. I know you and I did a radio mm-hmm. show on that. And mm-hmm. the fellowship piece is so important in the church, because one, it's accountability, but two, it's just that friendship. It's having other people to talk with, other people to walk with. And when things are great or they're difficult, you have other people that can support you. Mm. And God does absolutely amazing things with those. Mm-hmm. I have to brag about one of my leaders. I've told this story before a couple times to some people, but had a couple that had moved here from New Jersey, and they had reached out and were trying to get plugged into a connect group, and we have a connect group leader that he's from Long Island, and so I thought, you know, East Coast connection, let's try to get them together. And they ended up coming to the first session, and the leader was telling me this story, is that these guys originally had moved here from overseas, they were in Serbia and stuff like that, and from Europe, and walking up to the front door, they see this couple that they were talking to, and the connect group leader sitting at the door and watching these guys speak a foreign language. And what had happened was, is that there was another couple that had moved here as well that was in the connect group already. They ended up going to high school together 20 years ago in Europe. Wow. But they met in Colorado Springs randomly at a connect group, because it was totally just God
brought them back together. That's so cool.
It's awesome to see that. And now they're fully engaged in the connect group and just growing in fellowship. But to have that instant piece of fellowship, to see someone and be like, hey, I know you, like, especially from across the world, it is awesome to see that.
That's cool. And we run our small groups a little different. They're on a spring semester, a fall semester break around Christmas time and summertime. Can you walk through kind of the rhythm of small groups and how people can get involved?
Absolutely. So we treat it like a school term, so to speak, just because we know how busy people's lives get, you know, and Christmas and holiday times get busy, summer times get busy. So we really structure it in the spring and fall for that. And so the way that we have it set up is it's every other week that we meet, and it's based off of specific nights, based off of what the Connect group leaders would like to have. From there, it's coming to group and sharing in food, because as you well know, food is very, very important
it
in
is,
fellowship.
Yeah.
We all love food, but food is a very big part of it. And I think that's where a lot more people connect and have that fellowship time. And then once they're done eating, if they ever get done eating in connect groups, but once they get done eating, we do have a biblical focus, and it's usually based off of what you're teaching or somebody's teaching on the pulpit as well. And really letting people just be able to speak about what they've learned through the week and what God's putting on their hearts, and trying to keep that focus there. And then on top of that too, it's a lot of prayer. It's ending it in prayer and giving it to the Lord and praying as a group and helping with needs. You know, I've had other leaders that have told me that the group is just unbelievably supportive. We had one leader that his wife ended up going to the hospital, and before the pastors could even get to the hospital, the Connect group was there, which is just awesome to see, just that relationship that they have with one another, that if something happens, it's full support, full hands on deck, ready to go for whatever people need in the group.
That's awesome. And then how can people find a group? I go to our website and open groups are listed there. And
yes. So open groups are listed. We have all the open groups on the website. As they fill up, we do take them off the website. But there's about 70 groups within the church right now. And the website, I think, has about 15 or 20 open. Hmm. And it's great because it's based not just trying to find a random group, but it's based off of what you're looking for. So whether you're an empty nester, whether you're a young adult, a young married, a professional, or a family group, we try to give an idea of what type of group it is. And then you can connect with people that are in that kind of lifestyle that you're in.
Yeah.
And so all the groups are online. You can just go online and look it up. If there's one you can't find, you can always shoot me an email and send me a message, and I'll try to find something that's going to work for you as
Sounds
well.
Good.
It's never just like, sorry, they're closed, we can't do anything. It's always trying to get people connected and fellowship.
We're always looking for people that have a heart to host a small group, you know, lead a small group. So I've been really excited what God's done in small groups. It seems like after COVID, people were more hungry to be in fellowship, and all the things that we see going on in the world and end time events, you know, hopefully it's stirring people's heart to really be in relationship, because it's awesome to come and worship and hear the word. But when you're in fellowship and you develop relationships, it's just so, so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it goes back to Acts 2:42 as well of you know, the early churches. It was in homes. It was fellowship in homes. And it wasn't a beautiful building like we have, but it was those small fellowship groups. And
yeah,
it's really where the basis of our connect groups go.
Yeah, that sounds good. What would you say are some of your like joys in pastoring and some of the things that are most difficult or hardships for you in pastoring?
The joy is absolutely seeing the growth of people.
Yeah.
You know, if we're up there for prayer every service, if you see someone that you're praying with, and you know, I've had this happen a few times where you pray with someone and then the next week they come back up and you think you're going to continue to pray, and then they have this joy. It's absolutely amazing. And those are the best parts, is when you see people truly seeing that growth happen and seeing God do things in their lives, and then they come celebrate it with you. Those are the most fun things. And then just the events that we have for the community as well. We just recently had it at Harvest Gathering, seeing so many kids walk through the building.
That was
it's
awesome.
Just
yeah.
fun to have,
yeah.
You know, and seeing that we are a safe haven for kids to come to, and a great
yeah.
place for kids to just enjoy themselves, and for families to feel like they can just walk in the building and feel safe. Those are great times as a pastor. They're long days, but they're awesome to have, and they're just so fun.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
As far as difficult parts, you know, I mean, you well know, being in ministry, there are difficult parts to it. You have, you know, difficult conversations you have to have. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes marriage counseling can be really difficult because couples just aren't getting along. But, you know, it's constantly going back to what God can bring to it and trying to find a godly focus in what they're doing and how can they honor and glorify God in everything that they're doing. Sometimes that takes a little bit more time than you would want. I like to say this to a lot of people is, I like having you in my office, but I don't want you always in my office.
Right.
The goal is to get you out of there.
Yeah.
So it's hard when it doesn't feel like there's a lot of growth in counseling.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately God's in control and can work through those things.
Yeah. Now, on the lighter side, I know you're a huge sports fan. So let us into that world a little bit. How did you get turned on into sports? What are your predictions for the Broncos this year and the next couple years?
Couldn't go with like the Avs or anything. That was an easy one.
We got to go with the Broncos.
You know, obviously, my dad is a big sports guy. Like, he is probably the reason that I follow each and every sport. And you're right, I love sports and just in general. I love the competitiveness of it. I love the team aspect of it. I love everything about sports. But my dad definitely has given me that gift of loving in sports, because I grew up watching baseball games with him and football games with him, and it turned into a nerdiness for me, because I love statistics and I love just studying those types of things.
You geek out on it. Yeah.
That's right. And I don't get to watch as much as I would, because I have three kids and I don't want to subject my wife to having to watch sports all the time, but I still pay attention to it, and I know stats, and I watch things and I pay attention to those types of things. So
how about those Broncos?
You know, they're working. You know, I think that they've got some good stuff going through. It was a little rough earlier in the season, losing five out of the first six, but two-game win streak, which is huge, so they're trying to climb back. But it's just, I think, getting that chemistry down with a new quarterback, semi-new quarterback, and then a new coach. You know, there's got to be some stuff that works through with it. And it seems like they're starting to figure stuff out, so hopefully things go better in the future. But in the NFL, who knows? It could change on a dime. So
yeah. So far, I've been pretty disappointed with Russell Wilson. I'll go on the record. But we're hoping for better things.
Statistically, he's not playing bad this year.
Yeah, he's having
like
a pretty good
year,
season.
But...
yeah. And then there's a rumor going around the church. You know, sometimes it's hard to know whether to believe rumors or not, but that you and Tyler, our junior high pastor, are on a hockey league but different teams, and you guys just played each other. Is this true?
I can confirm the rumors, Mr. Schefter. yes, I can confirm those rumors. We do play in a hockey league together. I've played hockey my entire life. I started playing at 5 years old and just kind of grown up with it. And I've loved the sport. Tyler's played his whole life too. I took a nice long 8-year hiatus when we had kids. It just financially it was tough, and you know,
time-wise,
all those things. And so Tyler's been trying to get me to play for the last couple of years. And when I brought it up to Erin, she was finally like, yeah, I think you should play. And I signed up that day because I was ready to go. So,
we play.
We just played a couple weeks ago, played actually this last week, and he did beat me. I will give him the credit on that.
On the record.
On the record. However, I was not on the ice when he scored. So he didn't score when we were on the ice together. There. So. But no, it's super fun. It's super fun though. You know, it's just getting back into the competitive nature, and taking that long of a time off, it was tough, getting back on the ice, but thankfully I've prepared well and starting to get my ice legs back under me and playing, but it's just fun to get back out there and play the game I love.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like you get a lot of enjoyment out of watching sports, following sports, playing sports. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's fun because we, surprisingly enough, a lot of the church family has come to our games now and fully supports, and they're very popular when they show up because everybody on the ice is excited just to see them cheer and have fun.
Yeah.
So thank you, RMC family.
And I've also heard that there's more people that come out and root for James than Tyler. So that's a little bit of a sore spot for
that
Tyler.
That one I'm not confirming or denying. There may be a picture of me floating around in the stands when some people come, but
yeah.
There may be one of Tyler coming if we're talking about rumors, there may be one in the works for Tyler as well. So
yeah, sounds good. You know, it's interesting times we live in. It's interesting some of the dynamics that are going on in our city. You know, what do you sense that God is doing, you know, in our church, in our community? You know, what kind of things do you dream for of God accomplishing through Rocky Mountain?
You know, I honestly see a hunger for the Lord. You know, being that my wife she owns her own practice and has a biblical counseling practice, to see that people are, she's on a wait list. Like people are waiting to see her, and just the amount of people that we see here in the building, I see the hunger for the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to watch just God at work, working in people's hearts that they want to come back to church. You know, we have this Welcome Back to Church weekend coming up, and I encourage everyone, if they haven't, if they're still online watching or haven't found a home church, just come, just see what it's like, because sitting in worship and hearing Billy do worship and hearing just people talk, the buzz of communication that's going on before and after service, it's great to see the Lord at work and seeing God truly stir people to try to grow more. You know, and that goes into our connect groups and seeing the growth in connect groups. I think when we started them, I want to say 7 or 8 years ago, there was 5 or 6 connect groups. And now to have 70, it's unbelievable to see just people working for that fellowship and to grow with that. So I'm just excited to see where God has us in that, is seeing more and more people come in the front door and have those opportunities to come into church and see what it's going to be for in the next year, 5 years, 10 years, however long God's got a plan for it, just to see where God's going to take it. I'm excited for that.
That's cool. Well, James, I really appreciate your heart for the Lord and your family and for the church. And it's a joy to do ministry with you, and really cool to see God work in your life, you know, from you being a high school leader in school discipleship to joining our pastoral team and see that clear calling on you and Erin. And you guys are awesome. So we're really thankful to have you and thankful for how God's using you. So,
well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for listening.